that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, and that old wheel has rolled around again. Here it is, Saturday morning. Time for coffee with the Wranglers. Here it is, Saturday morning, March 30th, the last Saturday. Of March the 30th, and we'll bring the men on. I'll get a little more coffee in me and get these words right yet. Good morning, John.
Morning.
We say good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
We always save the best for last. Good morning, Brother Tim, out in Nebraska.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Glad you're joining us, and we say good morning to you, the remnant. We do thank you for joining us from sea to shining sea, from California to Florida, and up in Vermont and upstate New York. We know that you're tuning in up there, and even in the Midwest, in the flood and the mess that is, and all over. And so we thank you, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for joining us, because we gather in that name, and the Word tells us that when we gather in His name, that He is there also, when two or more are gathered. And we've got that doubled up this morning, so... Hope you have your coffee. Hope you have your Bibles. And we'll have the phone lines open here in a few minutes if you want to call in, if you have a question or a comment. And John, we'll ask you to open us up in prayer first thing, though.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, obedient, Lord, boldly confessing that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together to encourage one another to love and good deeds. We thank you for the time that you set aside on Wednesday nights for the saints to come together and to pray for one another, just as your word says. And Father, we know that these things would not be possible without your intervention, without your provisions, without your remnant, that small group of people that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly boldly proclaims no king but King Jesus. That small group of people that the Bible refers to as a remnant. A remnant that are the true followers of Jesus Christ, the Jedi, Jesus' disciples. Father, this morning, we just ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment, Lord. Show us what it is that's important for your people to understand. Father, give us clarity as to the things that are going on in the world. Lord, we do thank you that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers. We thank you that daily we continue to see that the wicked, evil, and disgusting things that were done in the dark for many years are being brought to the light and exposed. And Father, that the enemy doesn't understand what's happened. They don't understand why they've always got away with these deeds, and now they're being exposed. Well, it's because there's been a great awakening, an awakening of your people who had fallen asleep over the watchmen, over the house of Israel. Father, we thank you for the answer to those prayers as well, Lord, that the scales would be removed from their eyes, and their ears would be unstopped, and that they would come to that place of repentance, where they make a decision to die to their old lives and to be born again of the water and the Spirit. And Father, we just pray that that message would resonate throughout the country and throughout the world, Lord, that your people who are called by your name, who outnumber greatly those that hate you and hate your people, would be awakened, that they would have the eyes to see and ears to hear, and they would be able to distinguish those that are the enemy, even though they're cunning and sly. They do their best to lie and to infiltrate our organizations, Lord. Your word warns us that they would do just such things. So, Lord, we know that there is no greater weapon, offensively or defensively, than the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that blood of Jesus over ourselves and our families and all that you blessed us with. We continue to lift up our president and his wife and his son and Father, all of those in government that are seek to restore a godly government and expose the evil, demonic, wicked forces. We know, Lord, that there can be no deliverance of this nation, no God save America again, unless you intervene. But Father, we also know that you will not go against the will of the people. So Father, we continue to pray that those that can, Lord, those that are yours, those that may be lost, those that may have fallen away, but those that have the laws of God written on their heart would come to that place of repentance, fall upon their face, cry out, ask for forgiveness. And Father, that you would bring them into the realm of not only the called, but the chosen, and that they would understand that with great reward comes great responsibility. So we continue to cry out, Lord, for grace and mercy and compassion, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we do have the phone lines open this morning. If you'd like to call in, it is March 30th. And the phone number is 307-745-5913. And you may hear this broadcast at a different time. We do archive them and broadcast them out later on different frequencies and different time slots so that we can get the the truths and the messages out to as many people as possible. But this morning, Saturday morning, it's live, 307-745-5913. And
I did have an encouraging update. I spoke to Brother Howard's wife, Carmen, yesterday, and she wants to continue to thank the remnant for all the prayers. She says she can feel them, and you know, right now there's a peace that passes all understanding that only a Christian understands, that if they remain faithful, they will see him again, and that peace is resonating through that household, and she knows that it's the prayers of the saints. But she did have some encouraging news that she shared with me yesterday. The driver that found him said that he was a veteran. He had served in the military and was in active war duty. And he said when he found the body, he noticed that there was no struggle. There was no thrashing. You know, there was no disturbing of the snow around him or anything like that. And he says, I've seen people die in pain and suffering and agony, and that look is stuck on their face when they die. And I'll tell you that the look that was on his face was a look of peace and tranquility, and that really was comforting to the widow. So
amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, we've talked about
how don't have the exact cause of death. Because he hauled hazmat, they have to do an autopsy, although we know that the body on the table is not him, that his spirit is with the Lord. And but that will be conclusive as to what the cause of death is. Don't have that information yet, but it's definitely a huge loss. I mean, so many people, even on the ministry that are members of the body that followed the Wednesday night prayer meeting and followed the coffee with the Wranglers, and especially those that had been to Branson over the years, knew Howard and knew what kind of a man he was. He was a big man. He was a Marine in his younger years, and but he had a heart bigger than he was, and he would give you the shirt off his back and not think twice, and would never, ever pass by anyone in need, whether it was spiritual, physical, financial, whatever it was. If there was some way that he could help, he would do everything in his power to do so, and that's pretty rare these days.
Amen.
Yes, it is. It is rare.
Amen. You know, Philippians 4:7 talks about that peace of God. And it in Philippians 4:6 it talks about be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I think Howard lived his life that way. He did. He prayed. He had that relationship that you hear so much about, you know, with our Heavenly Father, with our Lord and Savior. And verse 7, that's what comes to mind this morning. It says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And just as Howard was a good, godly Christian example in life, he was in death as well, based on your testimony this morning, John. And that peace is there.
Yeah.
And also the peace that Carmen feels. It is. It, you know, for a non-believer, they're not going to believe it anyway. And but for the believer, for the true follower of Jesus Christ, there is that peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace that we know that when we persevere, when we, you know, when we have trials and whatnot, that peace is there. And it's offered, and it's available, and it's it is a blessing all the way around. It truly is.
Yep. He'll be sorely missed, but you know, the thing, there's things that happen in life that we don't understand, but we do understand that God is omnipotent. What he does is right. And that's all we really need to know, is he has a plan. And, you know, I looked it up again last night. It's still there, Romans 8:28, that the Lord works all things for good for those that love him, abide in him, and are called by his purpose. And
amen.
Supposedly from what I'm hearing, the gathering that's planned, the service that's planned, is there's so many people that are reaching out that they're having a hard time finding a venue that will hold the number of people that want to pay their respects, and not to mention probably 100 trucks, semi-trucks that they want to bring and have a truck parade. And so it really shows you the outreach of the man. I'd like to unless we have something really, really pressing, I'd like to share a story.
Sure.
That Howard told me the first time I met him. And he's been a great supporter of the ministry, physically to me, spiritually to me, and financially to all of the needs of the ministry. And for those of you who don't know, he owned Howard White Trucking. Well, you know, we always thought that the trucking company was a big company. And I asked him the first time I met him, well, how many trucks do you have? How many guys you got working for you? And he was such a humble man. He would just kind of look at you and say, really, really softly, he would just say, well, you know, it's just me. And it's like, really? It's just you? But anyways, he had a cush job driving for a company that has a major contract hauling from Fairbanks to Prudhoe, just driving a truck. You know, he could put in his 10-hour, 20-hour trip or whatever and go home and relax and wait a couple days and do another one. And he said he'd walk by his garage, and in his garage were all his tools, because he was a master mechanic as well. And he said all I kept hearing was, what a shame, what a waste. And he said for months he walked by the garage and he kept hearing, what a shame, what a waste. And he woke up early one Saturday morning and didn't even discuss it with his wife or anything, and he just went out and he bought a brand new Freightliner. And he was sitting at the kitchen table, and his wife got up and came out, and he said, well, I quit my job and I bought a truck. And he basically said, I'm trucking for Jesus. And he did. This wasn't no charade. That's what he did. He trucked for Jesus. And every chance he got, he shared the gospel and the truth. He would share Pastor Peter's tapes. He would spend his own money and purchase multiple CDs and tapes and anything, you know, materials, and he would just hand them out to anyone who would listen. And that story resonated with me for years. I have lots of stories, and Lord willing, I plan on going to that service, and I hope to be able to share a lot of the things that that I experienced with Brother Howard.
Amen. Yeah, it was always nice to get he'd always send a text on Sunday morning, to let you know that he was tuning in and praying for us, praying for the ministry, and he will be sorely missed, that's for sure.
Yep. Well, there was some excellent good news, I thought, here this week. The headlines were, Democrats, including a newly sworn-in Muslim lawmaker, reacted with outrage when the Pennsylvania state representative mentioned Jesus 13 times in the invocation and recited scripture declaring the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And in her Monday morning legislation, they asked this Stephanie Borowitz, which probably a Jewish name, but anyways, she basically thanked Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the one who's coming back again, the one who came, died, and rose again on the third day. And then actually at the end of it, she said that every knee will bow to Jesus and every tongue will confess. And it was the thing I thought was significant was this was the opening prayer at the swearing in of this first Muslim woman into the legislation. And apparently a bunch of the demon rats and those, the Antichrist within that group, were outraged. And but I just thought it was pretty amazing that you could tell that she went out of her way to invoke the name Jesus 13 times in that prayer. And it's a pretty powerful prayer. I watched the video on it. So praise God. You know, hallelujah. That's what it's going to take this country back.
Amen.
Is each and every one of us. We talked about it before, and I know that I haven't done my part like I should, but we need to start going to these city council meetings, and we need to, especially our state legislators. I'll tell you what, this state of Colorado, we are in despair. The fact that we lost the House and the Senate and the governorship, and they were a bunch of lying, thieving bastards that came in as, you know, somewhat middle road. And the very first thing that our faggot Governor Polis said was, we're going to leave religion and morality outside the public square. That was the very first thing that he said. And if that's not a declaration of war, then I don't know what
it is. It absolutely is. You know, the laws and
they haven't wasted.
I mean, everything that we are here, everything, you know, our from back to our Constitution and even God's Word that the Constitution is based on, it is morality. They talk about it being religion. Well, no, it's morality. It's what is right and what is wrong, not according to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, but according to the Word of God. That is the basis. That is the foundation for this country. And it is absolute war when you have these people say, well, no, this situational ethics and throwing morality out. They let you know because, you know, in the other the next few words out of that governor's mouth was, oh yeah, we're going to take your kids and start them in kindergarten all day so we can indoctrinate them all day instead of a half day starting out.
But we're going to pay for it.
Yeah,
but
it is.
The idiots are like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't understand the basic teaching the pastor taught, that there's no free lunch. There is no free lunch. And there's no free all-day kindergarten either.
Well, like you said, the alternate motive was to indoctrinate the children.
Absolutely it is.
Early ages.
Absolutely it is. And you know, we have the quotes from our founding fathers in this country that, you know, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the laws that we have in this nation, they only work for a moral and, I think the quote is a moral and religious people, but it means a moral and Christian people. It only works for a people that do unto others as they would have others do unto them. And we are just leaving that as, you know, far behind as we can as a people. Our people are. We personally aren't. And thinking that everything's still going to be all right. And it's just not. It is not at all. You can look through history and every civilization, every Christian civilization that, you know, has gotten a little too haughty and thinking that you know, they can do like that governor said. Oh, we're going to just keep religion and Christianity and morality out of government, and that's because they have no morals. They have no morals, and think that they can have a modern, thriving, blessed society without the morality of God, and they're just dead wrong. It's as simple as that. They truly are.
Yeah, Jason can probably elaborate on this red flag bill, but bottom line is, you know, that these things that were unconscionable. I mean, the fact that Colorado, a Western state that's been pro-gun and pro-freedom and pro for as long as I've been here, is the first state to have nonpartisan, which means just one party that's passing legislation, just steamrolling it through, using every trick in the book to where even the people, the constituents, can't voice their opinion before these things are making it to the governor's desk. But it's pretty significant. You got the details on that, Jason?
No, I mean, basically it's I don't know the details on it. I mean, it's just getting closer and closer, and I mean it ties right in with you saw what happened in New Zealand this week. They just made semi-automatics, rifles, assault rifles, whatever. It's hard to even classify because everybody uses different terms. But after they had the two mosque shootings in the last couple months over there in New Zealand, it goes, the prime minister passed a law outlawing these guns, and they started going door-to-door confiscating firearms. You know, there's been one person already shot when they showed up at their door trying to take their firearms, and then there's been several other ones that have been harassed. I mean, you go to a situation like that where they're going door-to-door gun confiscation because some woman prime minister decides that she thinks that it's illegal and it's going to make the town, the county, the state, whatever, safer, is nothing but a bunch of garbage. And they're just getting closer and closer to that, especially in some of these states, like Colorado. I really appreciate what they've done out in Idaho. Is basically it's they're fighting to try to remove some of the firearms that have been on the books for 50-100 years, just because they realize that they're wrong and they want people to be able to exercise their rights, and is what it should be. As I look at
the ban
happened over there in New Zealand, it was pretty interesting to me because you have these shootings and it happens in Christchurch. We've seen a lot of things, and it seems like Christchurch, New Zealand's been in the news an awful lot over the last, 10 years. Everything from earthquakes to hurricanes or earthquakes to drastic storms to, the shootings to gun confiscation. Why is that? It's pretty interesting to me as you start looking at, I saw this gun confiscation and I thought, it was like, oh, here we go, Christchurch again in the news. And I think that it's interesting because I believe that, the scripture says that judgment starts in the house of the Lord. And, you reap what you sow. Galatians 6, says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. As you look at that name, I believe that that name carries a resonance about it. And that there is, it's just showing, it's just the prophetic way of showing that of things to come, because judgment does start in the house of the Lord. I believe that. And, God says that, if you don't judge, I will. And, here's them, it's a mockery of things that are going on in the world. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens, in the rest of the world after they start pushing this.
Yeah, well, several states have passed these red flag bills that basically, like Florida, I think, was the first one after that school shooting, where if law enforcement determines that someone is mentally ill or poses a threat, then they can petition to remove their firearms. But here, the one in Colorado basically says that if someone,
it's anyone, and it doesn't have to be a close relative, it doesn't have to be somebody that knows you, it can be somebody, from what they're saying is it can be somebody that just, thinks or suspects you of being, someone that's a little bit crazy or thinks you might do something, it's like...
Right, and then it goes on to, so someone says that they think you're a threat, then they can come in and take your firearms. Not only yours, but anyone that you associate with. That means anybody that they can say that you have access to their firearms, they can take theirs as well. Now, that's dangerous, but the good news is that the sheriffs in this state have boldly proclaimed that they're not following any unconstitutional law. And it's funny when you listen to these talk show hosts, and they basically say, well,
if it's a court mandate, then they need to follow it, and we'll fight through the courts and we'll get it repealed. And people are calling up and they are incensed, furious, saying, what in the hell are you talking about? If it's an unconstitutional law, then they we have no inclination to follow it. We have
Yeah, and that doesn't need to be heard by some left-wing liberal Ninth Circuit Court judge to determine if it's constitutional or not, when the people can determine that. Guys, we got a caller. Let's break into that. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I wanted to call and thank you, fellas. My name's Mike. I'm in North Carolina. And I've got a prayer request.
Okay, Mike.
That's for Dr. Dennis Cuddy and his mama, Peggy Cuddy. They're pretty poor, and she's bedridden. Dr. Cuddy's eating oatmeal 3 times a day, and he's been doing it for quite some time. And for those of you that know him, he's a staunch Christian and a great patriot. If you've read any of his books or heard him on Dr. Stan, you know where he stands, and they're having a hard time. And man, I can't help them. I'm a carpenter, but I got a spinal cord crushed in an accident in 2001, and I've come back for little spurts, and I've made some money, but I've got heart trouble, and I've got a hernia, so it's not good. With the heart trouble, I can't even operate on the hernia. So if I can get well, I'm gonna go back to work. I'm gonna help them. I've got some inventions, so I'm hoping that, you know, the door will just be open. I wanna try to help out. That's how I found y'all, was on shortwave. I joined forces with the Christians. Little brief testimony, because they were the only ones that were standing up against loss of sovereignty and world government. And I was like an atheist. And I ran into a girl I went to school with, and she said, oh, the Bible prophecy, they talk about the United States. There's a lot of things in there that's happening right now.
Absolutely.
And I always had an open mind about everything. You have to kind of adapt being a carpenter if you're going to do renovation. You know, you have to use whatever is necessary to fix the problem. So I said, well, just show me. And after 2 years of Bible study, I said I made a terrible mistake. So I started getting on my knees. You'll love this. Started getting on my knees 3 times a day and begging God that I could see. I didn't really know what to ask for. I just kept doing it. And I did it 3 times a day for 3 years. And fellas, I felt like I was talking to a rock. Nothing was happening, but I just kept doing it. And sometimes 2 times a day, sometimes 4, but almost every day, 3 times a day. And I didn't know about this numerology thing or any of that then. I was just beginning to see.
Well, Mike, we are sure going to pray for you for health and healing, but also for Dr. Cuddy and his mom. And want to encourage you too. You know, on Wednesday night we have the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and don't know if you do email, but our email is preacher@sfaw.org, and by all means, definitely give us, you know, get in touch with us on Wednesday night as well, and we can send those prayer requests out to the remnant, to where it's not just us praying, but it's others as well. And we sure appreciate your testimony, and I think that is something important for the people to hear, that that, you know, it's repentance, it's prayer. When we draw closer to God, God says He will draw closer to us, but we have to take that first step. So, well, Tim, would you do that? Would you pray for Mike for health and healing, and also, as he requested, for the Dr. Cuddy and Dr. Cuddy's mom?
I would. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just lift Mike up to you, Lord, for a sustainment, for healing, Lord, for a continuation of his Christian walk. Lord, doors might be opened that need to be opened, and Lord, that you would light that path, continue to deal with him as a son, Lord, and continue to encourage him. Lord, we thank you that he asked for Dr. Cuddy here. Lord, we see needs there that need to be met, and Lord, we know that you are the provider of everything upon this planet. Lord, that you take care of each and every one of us. You take care of, it says, you dress the lilies, of you feed the sparrows, Lord, and how much more so, my people. Lord, we pray this upon Dr. Cuddy, that you would bless him according to your design and to your plan, Lord, and that you would do so abundantly until his cup overflows, that he might give you the honor and the glory, and Lord, that he might continue in work that is worthy of the King of Kings and of your kingdom. And Lord, we just ask these things, believing that will be accomplished. Lord, we thank you for it this day, and we pray this in the holy and precious name of Jesus and by his blood. Amen.
Is everybody there?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah, sorry about that. Was just kind of wrapping up with Mike on the phone there and getting him the office number so he could give us a call, and I don't know if he realized we were live on the radio or not, but you know, we kind of get all types. That's the remnant. And people at different stages of their Christian walk. And at their walk in truth, the truth of the word. We just finished up volume 2, 2019, The Dragon Slayer, and it's in the mail and the online, getting that worked on. We'll have that out the first of the week to you that get it. And want to encourage you to the main article. John's got a great introduction to it in the Ramrod article, but the main article is Isaiah's Job, and it talks about the remnant, and it talks about that when God spoke to Isaiah about going and presenting his word and preaching, and Isaiah says, "Oh, here I am, Lord, I'll go. I'm ready." And you know, just like we had talked about earlier, like you had, John, that you know, things don't always work out exactly the way we thought they would, and that's part of Isaiah's job. It is, and we do get, you know, when we put the truth out, it resonates with those that are seeking truth, that are doing their best to draw nearer to God. And so we'll talk with Mike during the week, and we will you know, make sure that he's getting our newsletter, and we'll help him in any way that we can, and get him on the prayer chain and that type of thing. John?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fruit of the prayers, really. What we, you know, Lord, bring those that can, those that have the laws of God written on their heart, those that may have been lost or fallen away, bring them to repentance, to fall upon their face, fall upon their knees, and cry out and ask for forgiveness. And that's a perfect example of our brother Mike there in North Carolina. So thank you, Jesus. You know, they rejoice when even one finds the truth and gives their life to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord willing, we can get them to understand baptism and get them baptized and into a member of the fold.
Amen, amen.
It back on the brings me red flag, Bill. It was pretty interesting, so I did pull some stuff on it, and it says that basically 64 counties avowed that they won't enforce the bill when it comes law. You know, that's one thing, is when, you know, that they're saying that they're not going to enforce it, but, you know, looking on down the line, it's still passed into law. You know, this is what I understand is one of the only bill that mandates a person who has their guns taken away, that it puts them into the position where they need to prove their innocence to get their weapon back without ever being charged with a crime. You know, Dad used to talk about, you know, these hate laws becoming thought crimes and thought crimes being outlawed. I mean, it's not now you don't even have to have a thought crime. You can have somebody else have the thought crime and say, okay, I suspect, I think, I heard somebody say something, you know, and without even having to prove something, have somebody, they can basically make somebody's life a living hell. You know, they base this on this deputy sheriff that was shot by and killed by a suspect with a known history of mental illness and hostility towards law enforcement. So you take that scenario, what would happen if they came to his door? Do they really think things would have changed that much if they had showed up at his doorstep and said, okay, here, we're here to confiscate your firearms?
Right.
Really? I mean, you know, you talk about insanity. I mean, this whole thing is just, you know, completely insane. You know, and even for it to pass by a vote of 38 to 25, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you got to be aware of, but it's insanity.
The sheriffs are smart enough to know, too, that if we go and try to disarm the American people, then they really have a right to defend what they have, because if it's unconstitutional, you know, the Second Amendment's still there. They haven't been able to remove that. It says the rights to bear arms shall not be infringed upon, period. And the mistake we've made over the years, which our pastor pointed out many a time, is you can't give them anything. You can't, like these bump stocks. All that is just the camel's nose under the tent. You can't give them anything, or it just fuels the fire.
Amen.
But I thought this was encouraging. A federal judge blocks California's move to ban high-capacity magazines. So in 2000, they made it illegal to purchase magazines of 10 rounds or more. And in 2016, fueled largely by illegal aliens, I'm sure, they had a vote, and the people voted that, that not only did they ban the sale of them, they called for the confiscation of anyone in the state that had them. Well, right now, this federal judge that once ruled with them has just ruled that it's unconstitutional and against the law that was passed. So for that to happen in California, that's significant. I would say that that's an answer to prayer as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that.
Well, and, you know, the end game is civil war. That's the end game, and you know it, and I know it, and they've been trying to get us into a civil war. They tried it with races. They haven't been able to do it, and, you know, if it comes down to it with the firearms, that may just be what takes place, but divide and conquer, right? That's a communist manifesto. That's their goal.
Amen.
Divide and conquer. And, and they've been pretty successful at it. And the reality is there's nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing but God's grace, mercy, compassion, you know, that's going to bring us out of these things. We need to be praying like never before, especially for I still think the key is the Hebrews 1:14, that God's given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels. We can pray for those ministering angels to minister to those in positions of authority, to grant them wisdom and understanding and discernment, guarding angels to protect those that are his, and warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places, because we can see the demonic forces of hell that are working in government all over, in local government, state government, and federal government. And, you know, there's been some significant increases in the loss of their power, and it's nothing but the prayer of the saints. So,
amen. Well, guys, we got another caller. We've got James from Idaho. James, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Just a couple things this morning. I was been kind of hesitant to call on the one point, so I haven't. I've had this thought written down for several weeks when Jonathan was going over the Book of Enoch, and as he was going through it, I was reading it on my own, and something jumped out at me. But what Mike said, I'd like to make a point to that, too, after I talk about that passage in Enoch real quick. I called this morning because after Mike called, I got to thinking about something, and I'd like to run another idea past you. It doesn't require an immediate response or anything, just maybe something to gnaw over. So Enoch 8:1, and this is just a thought I had on it. I'll read it real quick, just a couple lines. The use of stones of every valuable and select kind and of all the sorts of dyes so that the world became altered. So I'm wondering maybe if so that the world became altered and the stones of select kind, what comes to mind for me is the periodic table and all the basic elements in the created world, and how you can take these different elements and make compounds like we have, like plastics and things like that, things that don't break down over thousands and thousands of years, where I think, in my opinion, we are altering the earth with these compounds, these chemical compounds that you know, from Monsanto, that leach into the water table and things like that. So anyhow, just I was wondering if that passage in Enoch was a prophetic line about our time now and plastics and these chemical compounds. So that was the first point. Like you said, doesn't require an immediate response. Just wanted to share that idea I had. And the second thing with Mike calling this morning, I've thought about this in the past, and maybe the LaPorte Church of Christ does have this. I'm not too sure, but it would be nice if the groups, and this one being the LaPorte Church of Christ, but groups of our people would have a fund for our people, meaning in addition to tithe, if people are able to, you know, kick into the pot a little bit, you know, once a month, once every 6 months, whatever it is, if we can build up a little account for our people that when people are in real need and vetted, and I say vetted because unfortunately there are people that are going to take advantage of generosity. Now, I don't know Mike, I don't know this doctor guy, but I sure would like to help out a little bit. But I don't know these people. You guys do. So maybe if the LaPorte Church of Christ had a pot, you know, where everybody kicks in when they can, and then when somebody is really, really needy or an emergency comes in for one of our people, you guys that run the ministry can properly disperse, you know, whatever amount seems fitting. So with that said, how do I get a hold of you, or how do you get a hold of me? I would like to contribute just a little bit. Hopefully it'll help out to doctor. I don't remember his name. So the doctor guy that's on rough times.
Well, and James,
that's all I got, gentlemen.
Sure. Well, James, I don't know if you have our office number, but I'd be glad to give that to you. And if you want to call during the week, we can discuss that a little further.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. I'm ready to copy it.
Same area code, 307-742-7582.
Yes. Okay, what I'll do is I'll give you a holler this sometime this next business week.
Sure.
Richard, and anyhow, that's it. I'll maybe if you got a response, I'll get offline and wait for it. If not, that's just a couple things I've been gnawing over. Thank you for your time, guys.
All right, James.
A great morning.
Thanks
and
for the
call.
Day. Good morning. Thanks.
I just want to put out there that the ministry does help those in need whenever the need is legitimate, and to the extent that we can. I mean, obviously, we're not Joel Steen's church that makes 600 and probably 66,000 per service, but we definitely have a heart for God's people and a compassion for God's people. And anytime there's any kind of disaster, we always try to contact those members of the body to see if they have any needs. And the majority of the time, those people, you know, it was like what Tim read the other couple weeks ago on Wednesday night prayer meeting, that those with a little share what they have. And that's our people. Our people aren't about just making themselves rich. They're about sharing of their time, talent, and treasure. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, and I want to encourage people to order this Dragon Slayer newsletter. If they're not on that list, I think that they need to get it, because there's a lot of things in there that we've been covering as of late that I think are going to be very permanent in the future, very important for people to learn now. It's a lot easier to learn some of this stuff now. I believe that, you know, it's prophetic, and the timing was perfect for this Isaiah's job to be put into the newsletter. And I think that I think that that's one of the things that you know, people need to get it. We got it in a tract, and you know, as you read that, it just makes so much sense. And it's encouraging to a lot of the remnant that have been out there teaching and preaching and trying to share things and trying to educate people on what's going on in the land today. It gives them a lot of encouragement. There hasn't been one single person that that I have talked to or given that track to as of late that didn't thoroughly enjoy it. 2 weeks ago, I gave it to a Buddhist and that I was talking with, and they read the thing front to back 3 times and fell in love with it and said it was the most powerful thing that they've ever read, and wants more information. So it's it's something that is really important, and I think that I think people should get it in their hands and heed the message that's in there. It was originally written in 1936, so it's something that's not new. It's something that's been around a long time, but it does a really good job of explaining who the remnant is. And you know, it's a privilege to be part of the remnant. Once you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear those things, the Lord just keeps unlocking door after door and answering question after question, which is, an exciting place to be in.
Yeah, it really is, and I read it here recently too. One of the things that and ties into what we were talking about today as far as on the gun violence or the gun confiscation. It's violence. It's violence of them against God's people. But and that's the fact that a remnant is a remnant. It's not necessarily the masses, and God always has that group, and that group is there, and it's the group of builders for the kingdom, and it's an important thing. And I couldn't help but think that you have this battle going on. The Bible talks about it over and over again between light and darkness. And, even in a small, dark place, the smallest flashlight is light. It's not dark in there completely anymore. And that's what God's people, his remnant is that. And, this morning I was sitting here and just thinking about different Bible verses, and the one that came to mind was Romans 13:12, and it says, "Night is almost gone, and day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." And, there is the brightness or the light of God shown in those dark places. And thank God for those sheriffs who stand up and fill that gap from these idiots that want to pass this law, and they're not just idiots, they're antichrist idiots, So it's a battle. It's not a civil dispute. It's a battle between God and between Satan, and it's ongoing, and it's been going since, the garden. But we're told in Romans that the night's almost gone. So, and we have another saying that we're probably all familiar with mostly, and it says, "It's always the darkest before the dawn," So there's a lot of these things going on, but our God's on the throne and he rules. So, that gives you some hope. I mean, and it gives us a reason to continue on in his remnant and to want to be there to see the victory. So anyways, I just wanted to try to be a little encouraging on that.
Amen. Amen it is. And it is encouraging that the truth still goes out, that that people are having their eyes opened, prayers are being answered. And that's one thing Isaiah's job, it highlights God's way, and it lets you see by contrast how different God's way is than these mass churches. These mega box, big box, mega box churches that are not you know, really have nothing to do with God. It is man's ways. Was talking with our butchers just last night, and they mentioned that very thing, that this is the church right here, the remnant, the people standing here talking about God, worshiping Him, encouraging others, doing the things that the Word says, and that is Christianity, that is the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, called out from the world. And it's encouraging to hear that from people that are not on our ministry, you know. It really is. And we're seeing more and more of that, people having their eyes opened, and we praise God for it, for sure. Well, guys, we're wrapping up here. Just another minute or two. If anybody's got any closing comments they want to close out with.
You know, just that Passover is Tuesday night, and we will have a live service, 7 o'clock Mountain Time, that will include partaking as a body of communion. I think the Lord's given me a pretty good outline of what's to be brought for this observance, and I think it may develop into a two-part series, but I would encourage you to make sure that you keep it, and if for some reason you can't, there is that makeup day 30 days later, and we'll be disseminating those details here shortly. But I think it's important that, especially if you're keeping the 91st days and you're you understand the concept of keeping those days. The Passover is the door day. It's pretty critical, I think, that we, especially in these times, keep these days and observe the Passover. So,
amen.
I just encourage you to take the time and join us Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Mountain Time.
Absolutely. And it's just like coming to church on Sunday morning, and we do invite you to come to church with us tomorrow morning starting at 8:30. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and you can do that at scriptures4america.org, and just click on the live video stream. Again, scriptures4america.org. Well, men, thanks so much. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make 'em health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their